Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this, the 15th episode of Blood on the Thames, a Vampire the Masquerade Chronicle set in London, England. With me tonight,
Carlos playing Moses of Clan Nosferatu.
Peter playing Benjamin of Clan Belcavian.
Rachel playing Katiana of Clan Tremier.
Philip playing Jim Roy Woods of Clan Gangrel.
Just as a disclaimer, guys, one of our cameras is being a tiny bit iffy, temperamental today. It shouldn't have too many problems, but if it does cut out, it will be turned straight back on, so just bear with us on that. Leaping straight back into the recap for episode 14.
Okay, so when they were in the tunnels under Reading, the Coterie have an encounter with a Nosferatu with a penchant for cameras and taking body parts. And this Nosferatu takes a particular shine to Benjamin, who leaves the encounter down a jacket, some hair, and his thumb. In exchange, he gets a photograph of the alleged Sabbat, Nosferatu, and also some less clear images of the monster from his vision.
Showing unusual levels of competence and teamwork, the Coterie then slip out of Reading and return home without incident.
After that, Jim and... leave me alone. After that, Jim and Moses went to see Plucky Jake to fill him in with Agnes to fill him in on what we had found. We consulted with him, and it was decided that we should talk to Constable Jacqueline. Jim and Moses left, but Agnes stayed behind, probably for a good shoveling.
Yeah, and worth noting that Jim's boon is now officially ticked off.
Meanwhile, back at the Crossed Hands, Katia heads up to her attic room and sees the spectral image of a hanged man in her room watching her as he swings from the rafters before disappearing.
Katia then has a meeting with Sabine. Benjamin is there for part of it until I get to the important stuff. And in that meeting, Sabine tells Katia to beware the smiling man and also the rest of the Coterie for various different reasons. And urges that she sees the constable with their news.
Now Moses is preparing a report for Constable Jacqueline while he's while Katia and Jim prepare to hunt.
Jim and Katia move to exit to go and hunt, Miss Borowski stops Jim to tell him that his sister Sarah has been at the front desk and asking for him, which is not a good thing.
It'll be fine.
And that was where we left it.
That is where we left it. So, on a Thursday morning, evening, around 8 o'clock, you guys have split into your two groups. Katia and Jim, you've stepped outside of the Crossed Hands after this name-dropping by Mrs. Morovsky, whilst Benjamin and Moses are currently in the basement of the same place. So, you two, what are you currently doing?
Right now I'm writing a report for Constable Jacqueline. Very basic. Maybe a sheet of paper describing the bare minimum. I think the most of the things are going to be a short chat and giving her the picture, the original one, of which we have had some photocopies and I scanned it. So I have it also in digital format.
Are you just showing her the picture of the Sabbat?
I'm considering showing her the picture of the creature, but I don't know how relevant would that be for her. I am leaving that out of the conversation, and I'm putting that in the report that will go to Plucky Jake. It's gonna look like a top secret folder, thick with everything. The pictures of the creatures, the drawing of his new buddy, her bro, the whole problem with the Sabbat, a transcript of the conversation that I found that he has in digital format on the diskette, so all of it, and of course a full rundown. But that is something that I will probably write at the end of the night or tomorrow, so I can give it to him at the end of the day tomorrow or as soon as possible, but as soon as it's ready as well.
Okay, so the information that you're passing on to the constable, is there anything you're omitting?
Regarding the Sabbat? No.
About any of it? Just...
My story starts with me in the tunnels between Reading and in London on a matter of a boon. Mm-hmm. So I was there on my own business when I found these creatures. I actually mentioned Foggy and what they did to him. And then after we were found, on the way out, I tell her about those cameras, and those cameras were set by another Nosferatu who could not speak because of his deformed tongue. But he agreed to give us this picture.
Okay, do you mention that you were with your coterie or just by yourself?
I do not mention it in the report.
Okay.
If she asks a direct question, I will determine at the time. But nothing in the report, because everything is, it's more of like a very general description. I want to keep this a page long or less. Because I know she's a woman of few words. And so I will give her that and a picture and explain things as detailed as she wants them explained. Okay. So I'm just going to keep it short. Also, I'm going to be inconveniencing her at church, so I might take the opportunity, pray myself for a little bit, and then leave.
So Benjamin's taken a sketch of the Sabbat photograph, which I think he did kind of whilst with. Yeah. And after that, he actually doesn't have much to do, so I think he's going to sort of nervously ask Moses things.
Okay.
Which I can have you to do.
Yeah.
So I'll you know that with the prince, there's an etiquette about how you look at him and behave. What's the etiquette with the constable? Because I feel that I really want to get that etiquette correct. Because the little I've seen of her tells me that it would be a big mistake to get it wrong. So what? How do you approach and talk to the constable?
There is no formal etiquette for her. I would believe, do not stare her clearly, like do not stare in her eyes in a defiant manner, because she
No, there's no fear of that. I won't be doing that. No. Obviously no defiance. And anything else?
If you're in the way, get out of the way.
Right.
And if she talks to you, reply.
Yes, yes, of course. All right. Good.
I don't think she's the type of person that's bothered immensely by Prodigal.
All right. I'll just make sure.
Very pragmatic, so.
Yes, fine. Okay,
keep it simple.
I will do that.
Few words, though.
Few words, yes.
Very few.
All right.
So. And I take a glance at the pictures of the creature. So, do you really think that there was a creature like that?
Yes. Oh, yes. And I'm very glad. I mean, I saw what it could do, and I'm very glad it didn't actually do it to you, because it was awful. I mean, I can still see it now, to be honest, when I think about it. I could paint it if that's how easy it is for me to see it. Well, surely you can see from the pictures. It's real. I mean, it may just be a Nosferatu that is very old and feral. But whatever it is, I mean, like I say, it put a hand through Jim, and when Jim attacked it with those big claws that he has, it didn't really seem to care. And I thought anything would care about that because they look very vicious. But I suppose, well.
And in this vision of yours, what did I do?
Well, you were by the wall, so you were one of the furthest away. And after it had dealt with Jim, it came for you, and it just it filled the tunnel. And you thought about trying to get out, and then when you couldn't get out, you tried to protect Agnes. You stepped in front of Agnes, and I think that's when it stepped forward and ripped off your head. Well, twisted off. With its long fingers, it just and stretched off your head. So that's what you did. You sort of stood in front of it.
Okay.
I think Katia tried to do some kind of Tremere magic or something, but it didn't work. She tried to do something, it didn't care. And Jim tried to fight with it, and they sort of faced off, and there was lots of scrabbling and things, but again, it didn't. It dealt with Jim, and then it came over to you. So I'm glad we didn't meet it, really, because I think we would have all died. I mean, properly finally, so, no getting up.
I've seen other pieces of your art.
Yes.
Would you mind terribly if I commissioned a little drawing out of you?
You want to commission me to do a piece of art for you?
Yeah. Could you draw this creature sort of impaling Jim with his claws? You seem to be good at the gory part of things.
You want me to draw a picture of it putting its hand through Jim?
Yeah, but put a lot of detail on him, not on Jim.
On the creature?
Yeah.
I suppose so.
I mean, if they were that close and you were in the back with Jim,
well, yes,
you
I
must have
middle.
Been the second closest, so you got a really, really good look.
Oh, yes, yes, I got a very good look. I mean, it's not the kind of thing you can't... I mean, you can't ignore it. So, what, you just want a sketch, or you want a painting, or what's you...
Something that can be as detailed as you can.
Do you want it... what I mean is do you just want it for reference, or do you want it as a piece of art to have in your area? And are you, I mean...
As a way of finding if it, or him, or her, is actually out there.
Well, all right. Yes, of course.
I mean, I can run it through the Shreknet and all that.
Yes.
The gory part is just for your... pleasure. I mean, you seem to enjoy it.
What are you trying to imply? I don't enjoy suffering, and I certainly don't have any reason to enjoy Jim's suffering.
Okay, so
is this one of your jokes? Because I, like many of them, I feel it's in slightly poor taste. That's what I'm saying. But I'll do your sketch if you want. I have just done a sketch of the creature. I mean, you could just photocopy that if you want.
Yeah, in the meantime, that'll do. Can you proofread this? Check if it's short, concise, and enough for the constable.
Of course, yes, if you want.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, there's a few bits and pieces where if you really wanted a nitpick, you'd be like, I'd phrase this better, but it's not bad.
It seems fine to me.
Cool. There's a few Americanisms in the spelling and stuff, which... But, you know.
I'll wince inside, but I won't correct it.
Yeah. The organize with a Z is going to kill you.
As long as he hasn't pulled a Sheriff Jacqueline, it's fine.
No, No. It's Constable. Yeah. I print that out, and I start immediately working on Plucky Jake's report.
Okay.
With the whole thing. This is going to be, like, a proper one.
Okay.
Full details.
So, is there anything you want to do while he's doing this report? Because given how thorough the Nosferatu can be, it's probably going to take a while.
Well, I might go and make some more progress on the painting I'm doing for Edmund while I'm waiting.
Okay.
And I'm going to be working on that until they get back.
All right.
So however long they take is however long I write. All right.
Okay. So we'll get a Dexterity plus Crafts check from you.
Sure.
This is contributing to the same piece from before, yeah?
Yes, that's right. It's the one with Agnes and Moses.
Okay.
And the fire and the hands and the... All blended together in a way that apparently works.
But you don't like the gore.
I mean, that's what
yeah,
I said to
we
you.
Know who does.
Yeah, of course. But I wanted him to say it.
Ooh.
I'm going to spend a point of willpower. It's an extended test, to be fair, but I'm still spending a point of willpower. Come on, swanky dice. Don't let me down.
You had all your luck last session.
So just two successes.
You were getting seven successes left, right, and centre last week.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Okay. So you make a decent start with Moses downstairs going at the report. The sound of clicking long fingers upon the keyboard. You lose yourself in your art, but with everything that's gone on recently,
yeah.
Even as you try and do this piece of Agnes and Moses, there's that constant imagery of that creature there at the back of your mind, and every now and again you stop yourself before your brush goes off and starts trying to reattempt to mimic it. You stop yourself and then go back to doing the piece that you were doing as you've planned it, but there's every now and again.
Am I getting the urge to put the creature in as well as these two?
If you want to.
I think I might do. If that's the way the muse is leading me, then I think I will go that way.
Okay. Right, I'm making that. Meanwhile, outside, with Jim's back up against the wall and the revelation having just hit him that his sister's name was mentioned by Mrs. Morovsky, what are you two doing?
Fuck.
Think of it this way. There's nothing you can do right now. The best thing you can do for her is to make sure you have full control of all of your faculties. And then we have to take this. You know how important this is for all of our safety. Mm. Then we must deal with the constable, and then, with any luck, we'll have some freedom to deal with our own issues.
My sister presents a masquerade breach with this.
Fuck.
I mean, that's bad. But the other thing is probably worse, for now. And regardless of which we were to address first, we have to go and deal with the current situation.
I'm aware.
Look, it might make things quicker if we work together here, because I don't know how you're feeling, but my own methods aren't going to be very successful this evening in this state, but I might be able to help you, and you might be able to help me.
Mm, both need to feed quickly. So, to the back streets?
I guess.
Okay.
At least if anything goes wrong, I can...
Blame me?
Well, I was going to say I can fix things, so no. But depends. If it's your fault, then of course I'll blame you.
You look hungrier than I feel.
Let's go.
So, guys, what's your approach to trying to feed? Katia, you are painfully aware of how hungry you are. At this point, your preferred method, whilst you are in control enough to consider it, that's not what the feeling inside is telling you to do. That's stomach tightening, painful pulse in your gut every time someone passes you, every time your eyes flicker towards someone, or your nose twitches, or your ears turn instinctively towards sounds of movement. And you recognize this, Jim. Having, learned under Alicia, this is predatory behavior, and you're not used to seeing it from Katia, but she is doing it a lot. Not to the degree where you're afraid she's just going to flip the next person that comes around the corner, but she is at this moment exhibiting more animalistic behaviours than you're used to seeing in her.
I'm just going to try and guide towards the back alley and see which unlucky sword comes through first.
Okay. How close are you doing this to your haven?
Within the domain.
Within the domain.
Within the domain, yes.
Okay, so your approach is to just grab someone that comes through.
Yeah. We need quick. Can't.
Are you going with that plan?
I think she is. Yeah, she's deferring to Jim for this kind of hunt, because this is his ball game.
Okay. We'll say.
But she'll help if she can.
Okay. If Jim's doing the grabbing,
sorry.
It'll be strength plus brawl.
With grappling?
Yep, and you'll get a plus one from Katia as well.
How's it go?
I mean, in your current state, your sense of kind of I'm not sure what I'm doing isn't really going to kick in. Yep. The moment there's an opening, you'll...
Nice big dice roll.
Yeah, this is why I got used to it.
That's cocked. I'll spend willpower because we need this to do well.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Nice. Yes.
Seven.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that is higher than what you have for your domain requirement. Despite the fact that this area is quite heavily laden in foot traffic, there's lots of people going back and forth, both to out to eat or just visiting. It's easy enough for you to pick your moment. And when you see a young man walking past with a cap and like a heavy coat, he's listening to his music to the degree that he doesn't see you stepping out. And the moment that you see any potential witnesses turn a corner, you reach out, grab him by the scruff of the neck and haul him back with such force he's taken off of his feet. And the moment his ass hits the alleyway pavement, Katia is on him. Unless you make a willpower roll.
So is this to stop myself from straight up frenzying?
No, no, if you want to stop yourself from throwing at him the moment he's on the ground.
No, I think she will. I think okay. She is very, very hungry and has been holding it back for a long time. Okay.
Because if the intention was for Jim to feed first, that was the main thing.
Is seeing that she looks hungrier than if he feels like you look like first.
In that case, how much are you planning on taking?
She would plan and take two, which is kind of a little bit selfish, but she kind of needs to.
Okay, willpower roll, please.
Okay. And that is at a tasty five right now. And that's willpower, just remind me because it's been a while, doesn't include hunger.
Doesn't include, no. Any checks?
Two successes.
Two. The moment that he is on the ground, you throw yourself at him, wrench his head back with strength that you haven't shown for a fair few months at this point. But you wrench his head back and then your head dips down and your fangs puncture the vein in his neck. And then everything just drifts away as the pain in your stomach tightens and then lessens. And you can just hear the thudding of his heart as it begins to slow. And Jim, you're close by just in case she's not moving. But you're well aware that if you were to wrench her off, then the damage that would be done would probably kill him anyway. But after a few moments, as her grip tightens upon his jacket as she's pulling it taut towards her, almost as though she's unwilling to let him go, her hands just release and she pushes away. And as her eyes kind of flash with recognition of where she is and she has a deep inhale with blood just trickling across her mouth, she leans in and licks the wound closed. He's breathing, he's unconscious, but he's not moving. Not breathing to the degree where you think he's at risk. This does take a fair few minutes, and every now and again you have to double check the alley just to make sure that she's out of sight. So you recover two hunger?
Yay!
However, this individual is probably not too safe for you to feed from. You can. He's unconscious and, you know, he's not going to put up a fight, but...
You drain as much as you're willing to?
Yes. Yes.
I need to find someone else, because that guy ain't gonna...
That's fine. We should probably change location, yes?
Yes.
Cool.
What are you doing with the guy?
Well, if he's all kind of healed and just kind of passed out...
I mean, his breathing's heavier than it was, and he's paler, but you don't think that he's at risk.
Just kind of make sure he's wrapped up warm in his coat.
And if there's something I can sort of conceal him behind, put him behind some sort of rock.
Yeah, I mean, you would have picked an alleyway where there was something that you could actually, you know, hide behind if necessary. So you managed to tuck him away between... one of the back doors to one of the buildings. There's a little entrance for where deliveries are taken in, and it's enough that you can tuck him away and he's not going to be seen unless someone comes into the alleyway.
And have a look over for a wallet, phone, and any jewellery.
Okay. He's not carrying a wallet. He is carrying a phone, which he's got in his pocket, and he's also got one of the old Walkmans on him that he's listening to.
A classic.
Take that. Make sure everything's off and any jewellery, anything like that.
Wait, that as well. What are you doing?
Okay, so you're taking his phone.
This is how this works.
You're taking his phone and his Walkman.
Yeah, taking the phone and the Walkman.
Okay, he has no jewellery or anything on him.
Yeah.
As far as I was aware, you don't feed on gold.
Okay. It's a relatively old phone, and the Walkman is pretty battered, but it's still usable.
I'm judging you right now.
He's got some music that, based upon what you look at, based upon the cover as it spins, you can see through the little window, it looks like it's a Johnny Cash CD.
Oh, it's a Discman.
Yeah.
Not a Walkman, it's a Discman.
Yeah.
Take those, pocket those. Right, we need to move.
Fine.
Okay. Katia, do me a wits plus awareness roll.
Absolutely. And too much stuff in too small a space. Okay. Which dice is this one? Oh, bollocks. I'm gonna do a cheeky little willpower spend.
Yeah. Good
idea. Wow.
Yes, she is.
Good idea.
Yes, she is.
You roll the 8.
Yeah, but then there's still a high chance of getting another one.
Have you gone 2 hunger?
Yeah, I've got the second dice. Okay, that's 3 successes.
3 successes.
Up from a critical fail.
Okay. As you step out of the alleyway, making sure...
Oh, I have certainly wiped my face.
Just to ensure that you're fully presentable. You step out into the corner feeling a lot more in control, a lot less distracted than you were. And it's always refreshing and always calming when you don't feel the consistent need to rein yourself in and mentally check yourself every time someone walks past you. And as you're glancing around, you do note that this area is very heavily populated in terms of foot traffic, almost like a lot of people are coming to this area to... It's not normally this populated with how people come back and forth. The shops down this area aren't open for much longer, or they're shut. But they don't seem to be heading in a uniform direction. It's just that it's almost like there's a lot of movement coming.
What's the date again?
The date is the 7th.
I'm very out of touch. Right, you know another good place?
We'll do another alley which I'll have checked out.
Okay, away from this area.
Away from this.
Still in the domain.
Trying to be still in the domain, yeah.
Okay, so same approach?
Same approach.
Okay.
As long as you don't steal their fucking stuff.
Make a sin check.
This one's caught.
Damn it.
You're nearly there.
Nearly there. God damn it. That's 4 successes.
You go into an alleyway, and as Katia files in behind you, still glancing at the people going back and forth, quite young couples or just young people on their own moving back and forth. There are like a few band t-shirts that you spot, Katia, as you're going past, and it kind of takes your attention enough that you're not really watching as Jim's waiting for this opening. And every time he spies somebody coming past, one of these individuals that you're kind of noting is dressed up, and you're starting to suspect this. Probably a band or something similar in the area which is drawing people around. Just as he's leaning out, almost readying himself to take someone else comes around the corner and he steps back, just making himself look uninterested, making himself just look like he's standing there, you know, catching a few moments before he goes off and does his own thing. But every few minutes when you see someone come past, there's someone else moving in tandem, not either with them or going up the other side of the pavement on the opposite side. You just can't seem to get a window to pull someone into the alleyway.
Isn't working. Fuck.
I mean,
if you want to continue, I'll let you succeed at a cost.
It's not the end of the world if one person sees. I can deal with that.
What would the cost be?
The cost will be that there will be complications resulting from the feeding. A decision only you can make.
This is like watching Deal or No Deal.
I feel like we need a countdown timer.
And a banker on a telephone.
with the amount of people around, Jim will get hungry.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moses has a moment of...
I felt a terrible disturbance in the fort. Yeah.
you watch the people go back and forth, and even though there are a few moments where you think you could potentially grab someone from the back of a group, you manage to rein yourself in. You recognise in those few moments that it's probably not your own thought process so much as the beast kind of suggesting avenues of attack to you, and you manage to stave it off. And then when you step away, Katia just turns and looks at you, and you just see that he is without morsel in hand and looking suitably frustrated.
Well, if it's any small consolation, I think there's a concert or something going on around here tonight, so the likelihood is there's going to be a ton of very drunk folks wandering around later.
I'll have to do later when I'm wounded. Fuck. And regards to, as we walk away, as regards to earlier, how do you think I come up pleading? It'll make it look like a mugging.
I mean, other ways you could, like, there is a dumpster there. You could arrange some nice bottles of flippin' Stoford Press around him or something.
Yeah, that takes time looking for bottles. Just make it look like...
Maybe you should just carry, like, bottles on you or something. I mean, it's bad enough.
In a fight, being tossed around bottles smashing, landing on broken glass, no thank you.
I mean, you don't usually have to fight with them. Just saying, if you have to fight with them, you've probably done something wrong.
Yeah, they're...
I'm sorry, I know I'm not helping. Should we just go get Moses? Mm-hmm.
And then later, I think I'm definitely going to need your help dealing with Sarah, but I do not want the others to know.
That's fine. I won't tell, don't worry. I believe it, I might not. I'm not quite as cold as I look. I do understand what you're going through.
Well, to give you an inclination, she's supposed to think I'm dead.
Yeah. I thought about trying that avenue before. Didn't work.
Anyway. Should have worked. Fucking damn it.
I mean, well, if Benjamin's vision had been correct, then it would have worked. Let's just get back for now.
Right.
With a disgruntled Jim in tow, you make your way back towards the Crosshands. This is an area that is not heavily populated with foot traffic. It's off towards the eastern area of your domain. And you step back into the Crossed Hands just in time to see Benjamin stepping out from his room. He stops and looks back in again as though considering it something at a distance, and then pulls his door to and then glances over and sees you both stepping back in.
As we step in, is Marissa Morosky at the desk?
Miss Morosky's still there, but she's just going through the ledger, going through files.
I quietly don't get any go. Do you reckon you can get information with Miss Morosky about what time Sarah arrived? So I just want to make sure it is definitely her before we go.
I mean, doesn't that make it look more suspicious? Why don't you just look through her ledger when she's not here?
Yeah. So all done?
For now.
Good, right. Well, we should...
No disasters.
Good. Well, that's good. Very good.
Yes. Are we going to collect Moses?
Yes. Let's get him and he's been very busy. I'm sure he'll be ready by now.
At this time, you're about 9 o'clock. So you've managed to make a pretty sizable... You could probably go into even more detail if you wanted to be meticulous about your report, but it's thorough enough, you know, for an hour.
Okay, I'll leave it there as a first draft. When I come back, I'll just... Reread it, go through it, and if I can finish it tonight, I will deliver it tonight.
Okay.
But right now I have more pressing matters. I actually changed the baseball cap for a beanie, which is easier to wear under the motorcycle helmet. And I just grab my helmet. Oh, let's go.
No,
grab the photo and the piece of thingy.
How are we getting there? Is this a drivable, or is it a...
Here.
Oh.
We're going to church. Come.
As mostly, I pull out the phone and go, do you want to do stuff like that? Make sure it can't be traced? That's another phone for you to use.
Thanks. Just start it off. Put a breaker power for a second.
I pass off the Walkman as well. I go, I'll ask you to get some music on that. That'll be something I haven't had for a while.
Cash?
Is this an address we're walking to or driving to? That's what I'm asking.
I'm driving.
Driving, right.
I assume we are all driving there. It's not walking distance, right?
The church in The church that was mentioned is in Cheapside, so it's not close to where you are.
So yeah, driving.
Can you pass that back?
And I checked whether the wallet that I was just given has any cash in it.
There was no wallet.
A Walkman.
Oh, it was a Discman. Oh, I have a Discman now. Open it.
Yeah, Johnny Cash. It's one of his.
Actually, that'll do. Nice taste. I put it on, and I sit on the motorcycle and turn it on, like with my helmet and here.
All right, I'm gonna.
I'll text you.
Okay. So I guess I'll head to the coterie mobile.
Okay.
No.
I'm assuming you guys are all getting in the car.
Yes, please.
And I'll look up I'll get a map out, right, from my glove compartment, okay. And I'll work out the route from where we are to this place.
All right.
I start signaling the music.
Just follow Moses. Give me the map.
Oh, right.
I'll hold the map in case.
Yes. It's always good to have a navigator.
Okay. Out of interest, do wits plus drive.
Me?
Yeah. And then you get a plus one because you have a navigator with a
okay.
map.
Okay.
Actually, plus two because you have a navigator with a map.
So wits plus drive plus two. One success.
Me? I know where it is.
You're probably trying to keep up with
you. Another one on top of that. Well, no, you're the one that's driving there anyway.
I'm driving on my motorcycle.
Oh.
They're following me.
So you, yeah, should it be him rolling, not me?
Oh, no. This isn't for you to find the place. This is for something else.
Okay. Did you say one an additional success. Dice? Or just... Yeah,
no,
one
no,
success.
No, no,
one success.
Reason. Yeah, okay. Okay. So you pull out just as Moses starts heading off.
Sure.
And he begins making... very quick progress out of your domain and off towards the St. Mary Lebeau church. It's not too far, not when Moses is directing you there, and although Katia does have the map, every now and again she notes there's various different routes that you could take, but Moses just bypasses them all and starts making his way there. It doesn't take you too long, and before long you are pulling up to a relatively modernized, it looks like it's been restored recently. A church on the corner of a long series of stores, and it just says the St. Mary Lebeau Church. Is Roman Catholic Church.
Look for a place to park.
Okay. So,
I take off my helmet and I appear as any one random person without going hungry. I'm glad about that because that would have been like super dangerous. And I just secure the helmet, take off my beanie. Well, going to the church.
Whilst we're parking up and following.
Me on the ground. Sign of the cross.
Okay, so you're going in. Okay.
So we'll catch him up when we're able to, but obviously we'll need to park up and things first.
It doesn't take too long. There are places to park. You get a feeling that either at this time or just in general, this church doesn't have that many people going there. Because there's no one parked around it. And most of the other people that are going for the shops, there are parking spaces available because they can't park along this main street. And as you start making your way towards the church, you see Moses just kind of finish his acknowledgement and step up into the church.
Is it worth bearing in mind it looks a little odd for four adults to go up and address a very young lady in a church? Just a thought. It might look better if one of us goes and then we talk
somewhere
else. Well,
let's see who's inside first.
Yes, but we probably shouldn't all march up to her as a squad, is what I mean.
All right. Yes, that's fine.
Moses has already stepped on there. So, are you three all going in one at a time, or are you stepping inside?
I'm walking. I'm making beeline towards the door.
Okay. One of the first things you note is that there is either a bar or a cafe or something similar, which seems to be constructed beneath the church that people can go into. Mm. But at the moment, it's kind of sealed off. And when you step inside this church, there instead of pews, they just have rows of seats going up towards. An altar and a stained glass window behind it that has a goblet and a scepter and various other adornments in this glass that overlooks this otherwise empty chamber, save for two individuals. the individual that is stood by the altar and is currently speaking looks to be a man in his 50s with salt and pepper cut hair, which is cut short, and he has quite a thin build. Very weathered, worn face, but his eyes seem very alert and alive and energetic, and he's currently speaking. What languages do you guys speak?
Spanish and English.
Anyone else speak anything else?
English. I think maybe a tiny bit of scattered Spanish, but not much.
I would think English and maybe a dusting of French.
Okay. You recognise this as French, though. Uh-huh. And he's speaking quite fluently and at length, but he's speaking softly, almost in reverence, and he's just gesturing very slightly with his hands. And the individual that's currently on her knees in front of him, you recognise to be the constable. But she's wearing what you can only really describe as a 90. She does have trousers on underneath it, but the actual top stretches quite down towards her knees. But she's just kneeling. And then for the first time, you actually hear a female voice that you can only attribute to be the constable. And when she responds, it is in French. And she doesn't look up, but her head suddenly cants to the side and she stops. The individual who was speaking to her just stops and looks up a few moments after that she does, and then seems to realise that there are people entering into the church, and he looks slightly confused, slightly surprised perhaps, and then notes Moses as he starts approaching. He doesn't approach or say anything, but he just kind of looks up, puts his hands together and just stops speaking.
Something I'd like to look at: does Jacqueline look like she is using Blush of Life, or does she look vampiric?
She does.
Which one?
Blush of Life.
Okay. In that case, I will do the same.
Blush Club.
Spanish and French are not identical by any means, but they're very similar. And I have been to Mass in France, and I could piece a lot of the things.
Okay, well, I will...
No, me. So I can tell you, like, if there is something in what she said in French, if it was something that was is part of a specific... prayers or part of the mass ritual or the ordinance, it will be something that comes from Latin.
Yeah.
It's very, like, for most, it's really important to know which part of the ceremony she's in.
Okay. Well, in this case, we'll
because
say.
I don't want to interrupt if she's about to do communion. Yeah. She looks to have is that a cilicio? I have no idea how it's called in Spanish. The garment, cilicium, is something that you would use either when you're about to take your vows or when you are under penance, or so it has a very distinctive kind of garment.
Okay.
Because that will give me the cue as to whether either just stop, put myself, sit on a row, depending on the type of prayer, stand up, kneel down.
Intelligence plus investigation.
That is three successes.
Three successes. What she is saying is, whilst there are quite old form French being spoken, at no point is she saying anything that you could catch as being some sort of religious verse. She seems to be more in conversation with him.
I immediately stop it because it could be a confessional.
Okay.
So I stop and stay as... like out of earshot, out of hearing range. I don't want to eavesdrop. That sounds like confessional. I actually go to one side, kneel, and start praying, waiting.
Well, top or at the back?
At the back. Okay. Like at the moment I, it sounds like it's more conversation than anything else. You stop, stay in the back, start praying, looking straight at the cross, unless I am directed to approach.
Okay. You've seen Moses step in. He stops, takes his hat off, moves to the side, takes a knee and begins praying.
I think Katia keeps her head low and we'll just find her. We'll just find her a seat somewhere at the edge.
Benjamin will copy Katia.
Okay.
Jim's gonna $300,000. I'm not gonna risk Blush of Life, so hold up.
Oh yeah, we're both blushing.
We're blushing. I'm hunger three.
Sitting. Sitting on another pew, just trying to keep an eye without head down, but keeping eyes open.
Okay. There are candles lit in the church. They're lining the walls, and as soon as you breathe, even though outside you, as you activated Blush of Life when you were moving through in the doorway, and you spied the constable, your breath misted as you stepped in, but a few moments of stepping inside, it's gone. This is quite a warm chamber, and certainly now you become aware of how warm it is. And while she hasn't said anything since you guys have stepped in, the individual at her fore, whilst considering you and where you're moving, he looks back towards her and starts speaking again. And he's almost paternal in how he's speaking to her. He's very gentle in how he's speaking to her. And it's every time you see her, it's quite remarkable just how young this woman looks. And whilst the cut of her hair and the paleness of her skin, even now with Blush of Life active, she's looks so young, and yet she still fills the room, even so far back as you are, with a presence that is quite unnerving. And you feel even more unnerved, even though you've had enough experiences between you in churches to know that, you know, there's probably not a lot of stock in the idea that, you know, faith repels, or that there's any truth to it, because in your experience, well, maybe not Moses' experience, in your experience, you know, you've never been repelled by a cross or something similar. Not that Benjamin's probably actually had that experience or tried, but it's weird that now that you're in here, there is almost like a pressure or a reverence here that you're uncomfortable with. It's like you're very suddenly aware that you should not be here. And after a few moments, the only sound that fills the chamber when the priest stops speaking is zzzt. Same message.
Same message.
Did you send a reply?
I already sent one reply.
Which? Oh, I thought you said you were going to give me a note for it.
No. It was.
Oh, that you.
I'll text you later.
Okay.
Not I'll give you something. Oh, no.
I thought that you were going to text me later.
Like, the reply. I was already in the motorcycle with Johnny Cash in my ears. Don't text or drive. I'll text you later.
Okay. Especially if you're doing a motorcycle.
Yeah. In that case. Yeah. There is no buzzing. But there is silence, and then the individual just looks again at you all. He's quite open in it. He's not like judgmental or appraisive in the way he looks. He seems just confused that you're here, and then looks back down and he whispers something else, and then she just nods slowly, and he steps around her and starts making his way halfway down. And says,
approaching, he starts coming
down.
Comes
halfway down the aisle. She has.
I finish. Stand up. Good evening. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, that's okay. We were just speaking.
Blessings, Father.
Blessings?
Yeah, they bless you. Like
he offers his hand to you.
Okay.
Father Jeremiah Fitzgerald.
Moses.
Moses.
Yeah.
I like the name.
Yeah.
And your companions?
They're friends of mine. Drove together here, but if it's not whenever you are ready, we would like to speak to Jacqueline.
To who? Oh, yes, all of you?
No, just me.
Oh, okay.
Wait a second. That is she an ordained sister?
Not that I'm aware of. Why?
I'm really sorry to bother you, Father. We got the wrong person. I thought that is a friend of ours. It's an ordained sister, Sister Jacqueline. But if she's not, then we thought we would find her here. Apologies. We will just leave. Thank you for your time.
Not a problem.
Blessings.
And he looks at you all for a moment and then steps back in the direction of Jacqueline.
I just turn around, and when I go, I just say,
No, she's not in. Let's go to the next church. The back of the church is usually where the choir is. It is a really nice place for you to whisper and have everyone hear it. So that's me trying to just cover up the mess up because I said her name. So now it's Sister Jacqueline we're looking for throughout the churches of London.
So you leaving?
Yes.
I also get up and would probably follow up.
Yeah, well, go.
I mean, also, us being all the way in the back, I have, like, a decent excuse of saying, oh, yeah, our mistake, sorry.
No. Fucked up.
Yeah. But now Jacqueline knows we are looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go out, I just tell him I'm just going to lurk around until she's done. When she leaves, I'll approach her.
Okay.
Let her deal with me, because she might be a little bit angry for us showing up, and then you get to show up and show her the picture and everything, okay?
All right.
So you're going to deal with her angry bit, and then we're going to talk to her when she's calm.
It was my mistake, and it was in the house of God. Let it be. I will text you.
Is this a thing?
Saying I'll gesture
towards the church. Is this a, you know, I mean, is this something that we need to be...
Not to me.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Jim?
Hmm?
I'm getting mixed messages. I just wondered what... Is this a... I'll gesture at the church.
Okay. It is a thing because she is there.
Oh! All right. Okay. I understand.
And as you look back up the stairs, Father Fitzgerald is there and he glances around, sees you, and then just gestures for you to step closer.
Turn around. I just step all the way so we can be close and he can whisper if he wants.
Sorry. She's just said that if you did need to speak to her, you could... She's willing to speak.
Oh, well, maybe she knows the person I'm looking for, so thank you very much. Can I have the picture? We're looking for anything.
Are you sure you...
I'll be right back.
I'll move it with Moses.
I'll ask. When I approach them...
May I come with you?
I'll ask.
Okay.
And I go in. Just me.
Just you.
It's a picture inside... It's basically a picture inside my report. It's like, oh, yeah. And I show the back of the picture. It's like, we're looking for someone. So. And I just start walking in front of him.
Okay. The father kind of... watches you go, looks back to you all, gives you a nod, and then steps back in, shuts the door. He moves back into the main chamber. He doesn't follow you, but he stays at the back and just kind of observes. It's almost like he wants to be back up the other side of the chamber, like, with her.
Yeah, in the altar by the pulpit where he belongs.
But he doesn't. He steps back and then just takes a seat in one of the chairs. Far enough back where he's not... It's not like he's trying to overhear.
Okay.
But he is just observing. He's just observing you approach and just observing her. And she still hasn't moved. She's still on her knees with her head down, just very, very still.
Okay. Is she at the steps of the altar?
Yeah, she's at the steps. Okay. Right in front of where you have the altar and then you have
the pulpit,
cross,
yeah.
And the...
Yep. I'll approach... Just as I step into it, again, genuflection complete with the cross.
Her head tilts.
Proper church manners. I step, I kneel in the step underneath her, next to her. I am really sorry to disturb you here in the house of God, Constable.
Puts her hand back down. How long are you willing to wait before you say something?
Like an hour and a half, which is probably how long it will take me to pray like a full credo or something like that. Like 50 iterations. Actually, I take out my mom's rosary and start counting bit by bit. You have to send them money.
So hang on, has he been just gone for quite a while? Is that what's going to happen?
We will wait in the car.
So after a few, sorry, is that right? It's like, did minutes start to pass?
Yeah.
minutes to
I'll say, do you think she's very angry?
If she is, we're better off out here.
Yes, I agree.
My hands on the door. Yeah.
Do you think...
If you need to go out and hunt, you can. But you will need to...
Door to the church. Yeah. I'm going to quietly step inside.
Okay.
I am so not stepping inside that
Neither
church.
Am I. Okay.
10 minutes passed. Then 20.
Okay, hang on a minute. So we get to 20 minutes. Now I'm going in. No, I'm kidding. If it gets to 20 minutes, I'll say to Katya, how long do you think this is going to take? Because I do have some other things I'd like to do this evening.
How much background knowledge would I have on... I mean, I don't imagine I'd have a lot
on
these kind of ceremonies, but then one half of my family is similarly devout, so...
I mean, unless the father is giving a full service... It shouldn't take this long.
Normal
but then
services.
The report that Moses had for her should also probably not take this long, unless she is grilling him severely. But then in your experience, you've, aside from the few months ago where you heard her conversing, very, very briefly, you've never heard her speak. And she doesn't seem like someone that is going to, at length, start. So it's odd.
Well... I think I'll give them 10 more minutes and then I might go away and come back. I mean, I'm just going to stand out on these steps all night.
Well, no, that's why I suggested we wait in the car. It's not far, we can see the door.
I've stepped in and stepped back on probably one of the rearmost pews.
Okay. The moment the door opens, the father turns and looks at you, sees it's you, and then just slowly turns back and starts observing again. You can see at the very far end, Moses is now a step behind the constable, and neither one of them is speaking. Moses is counting beads, and the constable has not moved from where you first saw her.
May I sit on their watch?
How long did it take us to get here, roughly?
You're probably looking at about 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Okay.
With the traffic that was on.
I'm going to...
So you are almost... At 2300 at this point.
All right, I'm going to say to Katya, I'm going to come back in a little bit.
Right, I'm going to wait here.
All right. If anything changes, can you let me know?
I will.
Or are you need picking up?
I will let you know.
So I'm going to put my phone on silent, but I'm going to drive back to the domain, and I'm going to go and hunt.
Okay. So you... Take off. 20 minutes turns to 30, then to 45, then to an hour, then to an hour and a quarter.
I waited in an NHS hospital a few months ago for longer than this.
And then to an hour and a half.
Probably close to the end of my full rosary.
By this point, you're coming towards the end. And then finally, you've finished. Do you do anything?
Any outward signs from her?
Her eyes are closed, she hasn't moved.
I will not interrupt her. Not if she's praying.
An hour and 45. 2 hours.
Sorry, I could potentially be hunting by now, right?
Yep, I need a roll from you.
Do you want me to tell
your
you?
Approach?
So it's partly dependent on what I find. So I'm going to be using heightened senses, looking for a house, and I want to try and determine by things like the size of the house, what's outside, and my heightened senses. I want a house with only one person in it.
Okay.
If the lights are on and they're still up, I'll take one approach. If the lights are off and they seem to be asleep, I'll take a different approach.
Okay. We'll say wits plus streetwise.
Oh God.
This is back in your domain?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get an extra dice if you put your cap on backwards.
Benjamin neither has a cap nor is prepared to sacrifice that for the nothing.
Okay.
So. What did you roll, sorry?
Oh, sorry, do I get to add my heightened senses dice?
Oh, yes. Yes, you
do. Well, hold everything. One.
No.
So there's no houses.
Every house that you have gone to either looks to be people are still active, still awake or alert, and there's numerous people in there, or as you've been moving closer towards the houses, some of the people that you potentially could go into or go in frequent, there's enough foot traffic around you to dissuade you from trying to go in.
If I can find a single house that I think has one person in it, even if they're awake, I will go for it.
Okay. Then...
Shall I tell you what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I'm going to go up to the front door and knock on it.
Okay. Okay.
Because I have an approach. So I'm going to knock on the door. If I think there is only one person in the house, I'll knock on the door.
All right.
I pray harder.
I'm not... The door opens and a man in about his 40s.
Sure.
With quite long hair, opens the door and just looks out at you.
So I look him in the eyes and I say, I'm so sorry to bother you. It's just that as I was walking past, I couldn't help but notice the smell of gas. And I think that what you need to do is go into your kitchen and look at your oven for a very long time. And I'm mesmerising him.
Okay. What's the check for that?
If he's immortal and non-resisting, there is no check.
Okay.
Ah, that's so okay. Broken.
Oh, fuck.
Okay. I will say that a check is involved because you failed your last roll.
Okay.
So the dice pool for mesmerize.
Yeah, I know.
Probably
it is.
Probably
is
it use the same. The
or
same.
Manipulation
it's
dominate.
Manipulation, dominate versus intelligence and resolve.
Yeah. Okay. That would be what you roll against a kindred, right, or something.
Yeah,
like
kindred or resisting
yeah.
mortal.
We'll,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll say it's somewhat. I mean, you are there quite late at a house.
Jeez. Well, it's two successes.
Okay. The moment that you say this, he kind of goes slap Jordan, just looks at you, and then just. Yeah. The oven and turns and just.
I can't help, of course, but then I'll work. And then I'll go in. I'll follow him in, silence of death.
You beam with
push the door behind me, shut. Okay. And obviously follow him through to where the oven is. And once he gets to that place,
he's just staring at the oven.
I will take him and feed on him from behind.
Okay. How much are you taking?
Two.
Okay.
And then when I'm done, I'll whisper into his ear, forget. And then I will fuck off.
Jim, please take note. No breaches to the masquerade that Moses needs to fix.
Okay.
It's right.
Example.
Supervising.
He, okay.
He goes very wobbly as you lean in, and then the moment you say forget, he just slumps forward onto the door of the oven. You hear it creak underneath him, but then he just slides off it and just goes to sleep on the
okay.
floor.
Okay. Cool. I'm out of there.
Okay. So are you heading back towards...
Yeah, I head back. I'll check my phone's been on silent, but when I've left the house, I'll check to see if Katia's... I'll take it off silent, and then I'll start driving back.
Has Katia left any messages?
No, she's just chilling, listening to some music.
Okay. So you head back towards the church, about the time that it gets to...
Let me know midnight. Let me know when it's midnight. Okay. Misa de Gallo. Midnight mass. At that point, the priest is going to stand up. And walk over to us, and that'll be my cue to say it is very important. Okay. But that is like an interruption that does not come from me.
Okay. So, after about 2 hours...
Has the priest moved at all during this time?
No, he's maintained a respectful distance. He's been watching this for quite a while, and every now and again he just bows his head and seems to go into his own series of prayers, again in French, and then he'll just look up again and just observe the scene. And then, satisfied that neither one of them moved, he goes back into it. He seems to have largely forgotten that you're there. And then, after 2 hours, she just opens her eyes and then counts her head very slowly in your direction. And then bows her head and then gets up. And the moment she gets up, the priest is back on.
I finish my prayers and just stand up and fall back.
Okay. For someone that is not much shorter than you, but shorter than you, she kind of turns and glances at you and you immediately feel the urge almost to take a step back. You resist it, but she moves past you towards the priest, and you begin speaking again to her in French. And then he holds out a hand towards her, and she just takes it. And then she lifts it to her mouth and kisses it, and then releases it, and then inclines her head. And then he says something again, glances over to you, offers a smile, and then he steps back out towards the altar, and then out through the door. And then she stops.
What a second, he was a bishop? Yeah, did he have a massive ring?
Oh, look like a father.
Whew. Okay, cool.
No.
Moses would have felt really bad with himself.
No.
Had he failed to kiss the ring.
What? He just looked like a priest.
Okay, cool.
As a note, him going, I'll text some message to Katty and Ben. Priest left.
Okay. So with this long white robe, she has jeans underneath it and she has her boots.
Yeah, but it's now that I'm close, it's most likely...
Sorry, she doesn't have her boots, she just has her jeans.
Yeah.
And barefooted, she moves back towards the seats further along, and then sits herself about midway. She doesn't look at you, but she does cant her head in the direction of where Jim is sitting without looking at it.
I just gesture Jim to the door, and I whisper, even though with the silence and the way the church is, the sound will carry, get Katya and the other. Get Katya and Ben.
On the way.
Okay.
How am I? I don't know how.
Yeah. By the time all this is done, you probably would have made your way back after being shown the direction.
So I need to make a rails check. I forgot for.
Yes!
Oh, yes!
Okay.
Oh, for a
so you managed to pull up Jess and Katia still in the car. And then, Jim, as you step out outside of the church, you can see them both. Benjamin approaching Katia and speaking to him. They both look towards you as the church doors open.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll follow you inside.
Okay.
I'll be looking quite pleased with myself.
Looking quite pleased with yourself. You step back into the church and you can see midway up the aisle. The priest isn't there anymore. Midway up the aisle, Jacqueline is sat with her head canted, listening at the door without looking around. And Moses is...
If she left enough room for someone to sit in the same bench, not next to her, well, not... Sort of next to her, but not side by side.
She's moved several chairs up, so you could sit.
Okay, I just approach and sit there, and wait for the others to come. I actually open, hand the piece of paper, so she can read while they come. Sorry to disturb you. This is the reason we came.
She glances over.
I give it to her for her to read.
She looks down towards your rosary and then up at your face. Narrows her eyes very slightly and then reaches for the report.
Oh, yeah, I'm really sorry, Constable. I am hiding myself. It's me, Moses. Nosferatu. And give her the report.
She takes it. She doesn't look at it.
I turn just to make sure that they are coming.
Yeah. They're at the entranceway. Are you approaching?
I guess we'll be approaching. Yeah.
And I gesture at the bench behind me, behind us, or in the seats beside us. So we don't sit all in a long line that we have to talk, but more like in a little huddle.
I'd probably sit behind Moses, but not behind Jacqueline, because that would be very... Okay. That would be very... what's the word?
Unwise.
Unappropriate.
Yeah, there you go. So you're sat behind Moses. Where are you two?
I'm going to sit behind... beside Caddy, but I'm more towards Constable.
You're closer towards the rear of the constable.
Just slightly.
Okay.
Seat next to.
So I guess my option is to sit on the other side,
or
next to Katia, or next to Moses. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll sit next to Moses.
Okay. She looks past Moses towards you,
and then counts ahead again. Again, she never looks at you when she's looking behind, but it's quite clear that she's listening and seems to place where you two are, and then looks back over to you.
There has been some development. Yesterday evening, I was intercepted and attacked by kindred we believe to be Sabbat. I wouldn't be here otherwise. I'm really sorry for disturbing your prayers. And I say it with the rosary in my hand, so she knows I mean it.
She says, in French, which you pick up.
Hmm.
Where?
I'll pick it up. Not that easy. There are some tunnels under... like sewers and underground passages between Reading and London, mostly sewer systems, undergrounds and things like that. I was there on a matter of a boon, and when I was done and getting out, I was intercepted by three Nosferatus. These three.
She takes the picture and just looks at it.
What struck me as odd was not only that they asked who I was and what was I doing, but that they referred to me as a Cainite, which sort of struck me as odd. For it is something that I maybe have heard when I was in the States, so when I had a chance to converse with Katya, she clarified why it was odd sounding, and it, as we call ourselves kindred, they called themselves Cainite. It could have been a ruse to make me think they were so bad, but I too doubt it. They killed my families just because it was there. And I start, like, my voice starts breaking, and he wasn't doing anything bad. He was just there, you know, keeping me company, looking out for me, and one of the Nosferatus called him, reached out for him, broke his neck. So I shouldn't have, but I broke the beast. Then I take over, and I was immediately overpowered by the three of them in state. I was found later on by my friends here.
In the tunnels.
Yeah. They heard Foggy's last yelp. So they just went down to see what was going on.
Okay.
I
will say charisma.
Yes.
Plus subterfuge.
Yeah, sure.
Because you are being manipulation plus subterfuge because you are misleading.
Cool.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I'd like to say I'm assisting, but I'm really not.
That is three successes.
How many?
Three.
Okay.
That sounds like a critical success. At least behind.
She stares at you for a while.
There is something that I cannot piece my mind around it. They stayed me and left me there. So that's why they found me. They just stayed me and left me there next to Foggy's body. They didn't do anything else. They didn't drag me anywhere for questioning. They didn't even
go after the others, even though I know my friends had been seen.
She glances around a bit more fully, and you're all keenly aware that although her face is only side onto you, she looks from Benjamin to Katia, and then looks over at Jim, and her eyes linger on Jim, and there's a slight twitch at the mouth from where he sat. And then very slowly she looks back towards you.
I have mentioned this only to my primogen.
Her lip coils.
Since the matter of the boon, the reason I was outside London and into these tunnels, he needed to know that the boon had been carried out. And because I didn't know what to do, so he suggested that we would come here and speak to you directly. I was looking for guidance.
From me?
Initially from Pulaki Jake. But now I realize I've been looking in the wrong places. I should have come where my heart told me to come. Yes, from you. I am, it sounds silly, but I am stricken by grief and anger. He might have been an animal, a fox, but he was my friend.
She said something then that you can't quite pick up on. Whereas before she seems to have been at least making a minor effort to speak slowly so you could pick it up. Now that she just says something more to herself than to you in French, and you're trying to pick it up. Even Benjamin, who has a little bit more spattering of French, struggles to pick it up. But she doesn't slow or say anything else. However, she does reach out a hand towards you.
The hand I have with my rosary wrapped around.
Okay, she grabs it. I need you to roll willpower for me.
Oh, that's gonna be a massive failure. Does the fact that I have a rosary of the Virgin of Guadalupe helps? My rosary.
No, it doesn't. No.
Virgen de Guadalupe, no?
No.
This is going to hurt. No hunger dice on willpower rolls, right?
No, because it's a check.
Yeah.
This is how I die. This is one success.
Okay.
How many willpower damage? How many of them aggravated?
The moment that she takes hold of the symbol and looks up towards you, you feel a deep revulsion begin to build in your gut. And immediately you rise from your chair and she rises with you, and you take an involuntary step back trying to pull your hand away, but she grips it tight. And then you feel a burn beyond what you felt before, and your hand unclasps and the rosary drops to the ground. And as you look down at your hand, black necrotic burned flesh of the symbol of the rosary just spikes up your palm and around your wrist. 1 point of aggravated.
This is the best point of aggravated damage I've gotten in my life.
Oh yeah, the symbol is...
I have a burned akin to the stigmata.
Yep.
I drop to my knees in front of her, pick up my rosary, and give a swift prayer of thanks.
So you all just see her take his hand
with a look of awe,
and then
in my
all
hand
of a sudden,
like,
he leaps to his
awe
feet
and devotion,
and then he lets out a hiss of pain and drops his symbol and then goes down to pick it up into a knee, and then she just looks at him. I mean, does nothing else.
I'm going to be leaning. When all this happens, I will, of course, lean as far away as possible from the frightening stuff.
It's odd, but then you caught a glimpse as he looked at it of the fact that his flesh has been peeled back and decayed and just rotted and then fell away.
Would this spark any kind of...
We'll say intelligence plus...
A cult?
Yes, we'll say a cult. I have
an occult, so can roll it as well. Intelligence plus a cult.
I'm just going to file out the scary shit.
Okay. So you took a point of aggravated.
Oh, no, and the one that I'm not going to want to heal in a long, long time.
Yay!
I really want to know what this is.
Oh, messy critical.
Messy critical for knowing.
Six successes?
I have three.
Can I read the other one? It's
something like it's four, five, six successes.
Six successes, yeah.
I kind of.
Is it messy?
I'm gonna spend,
she wants to. Yeah.
I don't want like. Oh, she's got true faith in the middle of a church.
I mean,
that wasn't going to be the reaction I was going to have you do, but okay.
Well, I was worried it might be something along those lines. At the end of the day, I'll still get two successes.
Just don't roll another 10. I guess. That's the.
Or roll two tens.
That's fine, that's five successes without a messy critical.
Okay. You've heard there was rumours, or some of the kindred have spoken it. The Tremere have scoffed at the idea, and certainly none of the Tremere that you've spoken to have had that experience with it. But there are stories of people that had displayed such a keenness of faith and such a powerful faith that it has influenced kindred to a degree. You've never seen how, but it doesn't take much of a guess given your surroundings, the individual in question, and Moses's reaction to hazard a guess as to this being an instance of it. But it is odd because you did not believe the story. Most kindred don't.
No,
but now you've got either she's done some discipline that you are unaware mm-hmm. of, or this is a representation of it. It's, you know, without stepping in and studying it, there's probably a part of you that wants to study it to that degree. But without doing so, this is about all that comes to mind. This is perhaps what it is. But then, as you take the rosary up, you feel that sharp, that pain, that agonizing pain shoot up your arm from where the beads had coiled and burned into it.
Yep.
And she just reaches over, takes your hand again.
I give it willingly.
And then she just begins whispering something in French that you don't fully understand, but you catch the occasional word which suggests that she is saying a prayer, but it doesn't sound like it's for you.
No, usually prayers are not like that. So it's okay. If
it's very
one that I can
quick.
Recognize.
It's
recognize.
Only a couple of minutes, but during this, she doesn't look at any of the rest of you. But
if it's one that I can recognize, like Blood of Christ, Sanctifies, or whatever, I will go with it in Spanish.
It does.
Because they have a cadence.
Cadence. Do intelligence plus academics.
Why academics?
Because we never get to roll academics.
Do you need to be learned in order to pray?
Don't argue with the SD.
No, but to recognize certain
Yeah, of
friends.
Course, even French, which it's all hunger die.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god!
That's my roll.
So that's only three successes.
It sounds like a prayer for forgiveness. It sounds like the kind of prayer you say over someone who you are trying to forgive for some massive wrong that they have committed. And she says it to you, but seems to be saying it just loud enough that it seems to be for someone else within earshot.
Okay, I know that prayer. Because it starts with you confessing your shortcomings to allow God to help you forgive those who have wronged you. So I go, por mi culpa, por mi culpa, por mi gran culpa. Por eso con Santa María siempre.
And the moment
and I
you
go
start
with that
speaking,
one,
she she continues on her prayer, but her eyes kind of lift and consider you more fully as you're saying it. And the grip on your hands tightens, painfully so, but she doesn't release it. And it's more painful than it normally would be because of the burn in your palm. But you don't let go of the rosary and she doesn't let go of you. And then finally, when she's finished, she releases your hands slowly, touches you on the shoulder, and then turns away and finally looks at the report.
Stand up. Thank you for your time.
She doesn't acknowledge you, she's just reading. Are you guys doing anything else?
No.
I'm going to be reading what Moses is doing. Just in case, if he gets up and acts like it's protocol to leave, then as far as I'm concerned, that's what we do, because he all kind of desires to kind of have influence aside. He knows what's going on in this place. This is not a house of any of the rest of us.
Okay. What are you doing, Moses?
She has the page report and the picture.
Yeah, she's looking at the report, the picture. She's just flicks behind the paper and she's just studying the words. She's not just flying through it, she seems to be very, very slowly looking over.
Okay.
You're not sure whether or not it's just lack of familiarity with the written English or whether or not she's just being very thorough. You're not quite certain how old she is. Her appearance would perhaps suggest that she's a couple of centuries, but it's hard to deduce. It's certainly hard to deduce anything when you're stood behind her and still in awe.
I am a lamb that has come to the flock. She's the guidance he's been looking for. Okay. So until she does anything other than that, I will stay there waiting for guidance. If she leaves, I'll take it as a sign for me to leave. If she turns around and acknowledges me in any way, I am there holding on to every movement and word.
Okay. She goes over the report, and what should have taken a few minutes extends to a good 10-15 as she just very slowly looks over. You are all forgotten to her at this point. She's just going over this report very slowly, and only when she's finished does she slowly take out the picture and just stare at it. And then she folds the picture and then folds the paper and then just clasps her in her hand, moves over towards the altar, begins speaking again in French, lowers her head, and then when she rises, she makes a sign of the cross and then turns towards the door, towards the back door, and just starts making her way towards it. And the moment she goes for it, you hear it.
I say the same prayer. This is the one when you are about to leave. Mm-hmm. And walk with, like, walk in front of them, so we go to the main door, which is the one that we're going to use. I turn around and tell you, turn around and bow. I will not ask them to do the whole thing, but at least to just show a little bit of respect. And I go down with my knee, and I also do the sign of the cross, genuflection completely. We leave.
Okay. And you guys leaving as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Once we are out, once we're out, what I tell him is like, sorry it took too long. But as you could see, the constable takes her religion very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can tell by your hand.
Which might mean that she is few centuries old.
So, does this mean that we don't need to worry about it anymore now she's got the report and things?
Oh, I think we still need to worry, Benjamin.
Oh, do we?
No, you do not need to worry.
Oh, good.
I have put myself.
Well, I mean, not about the social aspect, but about the actual content itself. I think it's still worth worrying. Oh, yeah,
you can worry about the Sabbat. My reply only meant for Constable.
Oh, well,
Jacqueline.
So what?
Katya Silver.
So what now?
For now, we should probably go home. Jim, did you want to hunt?
I need to.
I'm going home to hunt as well.
And then I suggest we all head back to our
domain. Yeah, it's okay. I don't drop my mask of a thousand faces. At least make it easier when I get back to hunt.
Okay. So you're heading back towards Crosstown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. And we will take a break there, guys, and pick it back up.
Thank you for listening to part one of this episode of Blood on the Thames. We really hope that you enjoyed the show, and if you ever want to watch us playing live, find us at Twitch at 7 p.m. UK time every Monday. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook for latest updates. See you next week!